Stephen, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, why are right-wing individuals feeling so let down by Turnbull's Liberals?
I think most of it has to do with the recent budget. And that is that the perception is that essentially what Turnbull has done is adopted a historic Labor policy and probably decide to spend less on it to sort of give the impression that they're more sort of fiscally responsible. But the disappointment seems to be that Liberal under Turnbull is essentially drifting away from its historic emphasis on trying to attain a surplus, trying to be fiscally responsible, and focusing on jobs creation as the best social security, and drifting more towards historic labor policies of essentially increasing redistribution of incomes by taxing the higher incomes more, and also by spending huge amounts on things like education. And there are other issues such as climate change and things like that. So the right in the Liberal Party feel that the party is shifting away from its historic concerns under Turnbull.
Now, the Institute of Public Affairs has just weighed in on all of this and accused the Liberal Party of becoming lazy and self-indulgent, saying they've become apathetic as it's had such a big monopoly on far-right votes for so long. Do you think there's some truth in this, that there's complacency is at issue here, or is the Liberal Party now exposing more Labor values?
Roscombe is correct. I think that the Liberal Party started to become very complacent probably under Howard. I mean, what Howard managed to do was to staunch the support that One Nation was starting to gain in the late 90s by essentially adopting a lot of the policies of One Nation and even in a soft way some of One Nation's rhetoric. And essentially any sort of far-right parties that could have emerged, Liberals sort of took the wind from their sails. And so they did sort of have a monopoly on the Conservative vote. And this has made them complacent because there's an absence of competition. I mean, ironically, the Liberals are the great party of competition, but what has happened is they've removed their own competition and consequently have suffered the very thing that they say markets will suffer when competition is gone. That is, they have become inefficient, they've become lazy, but more importantly, they've actually become very, very inward-looking over the past few years in a way that Labor only recently sort of started to get out of. So where Labor were about 5 years ago, obsessively focusing on their leadership and trying to ensure an election win, that is where Liberal are now. And in that sense, they've become self-indulgent and they've become principally interested in their own leadership, in their own longevity, as opposed to what Australians are interested in. And that has allowed Labor to do what the Liberals were doing some years ago when Labor was in this position. It's allowed Labor to very, very effectively attack the Liberal Party, to focus on two things, attacking the Liberals and formulating policy. And this has left the Liberals in a very bad position indeed.
It does certainly seem strikingly resemblant to what we were seeing quite a few years ago with the leadership struggle within the Labor Party. Now, everyone has become somewhat prophetic over the last week, saying that votes for David Lionhelm's Liberal Democrats, Corey Bernardi's Australian Conservatives, and possibly even Hanson's One Nation are going to shoot through the roof at the next election, because all those who ideologically feel their right-wing values are going to be better represented by these parties. Do you think we might potentially see this happening?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely possible. I mean, as you sort of hinted in your question, we don't know for sure, and all of these are just sort of easy prophecies to make. But given what you would see on Facebook, in the letters columns of conservative newspapers and things like that, a lot of people are basically saying if Turnbull stays leader, then they will give their votes to the Australian Conservatives. You do also hear some talking about the Linehan Party, the Liberal Democrats, and also to One Nation. Of course, all this will achieve, it may or may not bring a lot more Conservatives into the federal Senate, but what it will definitely achieve is a spectacular loss for the Liberals at the next election. And the solution to all of this is anyone's guess, because the fact of the matter is, as Michelle Grattan recently said on The Conversation, there is no obviously superior Liberal MP to lead the party. There is just no one obviously superior than Malcolm Turnbull.
Mm. If you've just tuned into The Daily this morning, we're speaking right now with Dr. Stephen Chavura, intellectual historian and political theorist, about the current state of the Liberal Party as we do approach the one-year anniversary of Malcolm Turnbull's leadership victory, and now that the Institute of Public Affairs have weighed in on the matter. Now, Stephen, in speaking about the potential rise in power of sort of fringe right parties like the Liberal Democrats, Australian Conservatives, and even One Nation, if coming into the next election, we do see a lot of Liberal Party voters moving to these parties, might this sort of splintering effect mean that a boost for the left in terms of solidarity and leadership?
Oh, absolutely. And it'll be again, the reverse of what happened, not quite as dramatic, but it'll be the reverse of what happened in the mid-1950s, when you saw the Labour vote split in two, when the Labour Party itself split, and then you were left with the Labour Party, and then what became the DLP, the Democratic Labour Party. And what that actually did was, from the mid-1950s, it kept Labor out of office until 1972, when it got back in. So, really, I mean, Labor aren't exactly all that popular right now either, but all Labor needs to win is for the Liberals to lose. That's all they need, and that's certainly where things seem to be going. I think what's happening is that the Liberals are struggling to come to terms with possibly a new sort of political zeitgeist that has emerged over the last 10 years with a sort of a new generation of millennials with concerns that the Liberal Party are not historically known to be all that friendly towards. So they're concerned with job security. They're concerned with housing. They're concerned with tertiary education and qualifications, and in the post-materialist sense, they're concerned with climate change. And these ideological concerns lend themselves very nicely to the left side of politics, to the Labour Party, and they have the indirect effect of punishing the conservative side. So the new generation is unlike old generations, which were very much attached to institutional political parties. We're not living in a particularly institutional age anymore. We don't trust institutions. We're living in somewhat more of an idealistic, ideological age. And so it's not so much that the rising generation has any particular commitment to the Labour Party, but the ideological sort of zeitgeist that is emerging lends itself to Labour. And perhaps that's what Malcolm Turnbull is tapping into. And that is one of the reasons that the Liberals seem so divided right now, because you have a division between those who think their best long-term success is sticking to Liberal traditional policies and traditional ideological emphases, and then those in the Turnbull camp who say, no, we have to listen to the winds of change and adapt to them. And the big question is, which one of those strategies will actually push Liberals into a successful future? And it's very hard to tell at this point.
Mm. Well, as interesting you say that, because I definitely do think there's a massive difference in the way that people in, say, my demographic speak about politics and engage with politics than, say, people of my parents' generation. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all does unfold. But we are coming up to 1 year, and Malcolm is celebrating all of his achievements over the last 12 months. Stephen, thanks so much for joining me once again on The Daily this morning. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure from this end as well. Philip, thank you very much.